Today is Easter Sunday, and we are celebrating the victory of Jesus. All the churches all over the world are celebrating the victory of Jesus. I'm sure you're thinking about this passage. What an interesting passage Pastor picked for Easter Sunday. We all know the New Testament passages about the resurrection, right? He's not here, he is risen. The passage where Mary Magdalene went and Peter followed and the tomb was empty, we know them. But this passage gives us a picture of what the victory of Jesus will look like in the end, which is the closing act of everything. The passage begins by telling us the following. The Revelation, verses 1 and 2. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. That's us. What must soon take place. So we should be tying this passage with the resurrection. Because again, it gives us a complete picture of the power and the effects of the resurrection. So it continues, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Don't you love that word, soon? See, for Jesus, a day is like 1,000 years. What must soon take place? He made it known by sending his angel, to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So this is Jesus saying, hey, I am alive, I have resurrected, and this is the final act. This is what you will see. This is where you will see all my power at work in the book of Revelation. When he puts the devil where he should be. The victory has already been won, but we have not seen it because it's still unraveling. We still have to get there. But you know, when you've seen a movie, I'm not a movie person, but when I like a movie, I watch it and I love it because even though I know the end, I can watch the difficult parts without any worry because I know how it ends, right? You know that when the hero looks like he's about to die, he doesn't die. He makes it and he overcomes. And that's kind of like what Jesus is saying. Remember one of the verses that he said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Why? Because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So what he's saying is, if I have overcome the world, you have nothing to worry about. If I have overcome the world, you can stand on my victory. And that's what we do when we are confused, in trouble, feel defeated. We claim the victory of Jesus in those moments. So the passage tells us this revelation is for us. This is what Jesus wants us to know. And what we know from this verse is that God wants us to know these things, but what are these things that he wants us to know? Let's break it down. He wants us to know what his glorified body will look like, or looks like already. But will look like to us because that's the first time we'll see it, right? Have you ever thought about that? It's really exciting because the glorified body of Jesus is perfect. Our bodies, that's the body after the resurrection, if you don't understand. The glorified body is the one that the new one will get. So it will be perfect. If you ever saw in yourself an imperfection, you will still look like you, but every imperfection in you will be perfect, will be different. And I know that for sure, because I'm going on a little tangent here, but if you know, the Old Testament tells us that Jesus was not a very handsome man. Does that shock you? Because they make him look really perfect in the movies. But the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that there was no attraction that would draw people unto him. But when he walked with Jesus, when Jesus walked with disciples in the Emmaus walk, do you remember? They didn't recognize him. Yeah, people say, well, their eyes were open. Well, their eyes were open to see that this perfect-looking man was actually Jesus. So our bodies will be perfect in every way, in every way. So Jesus wants us to know what his glorified body looks like. Verses 13 and 15, which Steve read. Among the lampstands was someone that like the Son of Man. You know why John said like? Because he looked different. Like a Son of Man, like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash. How beautiful. Oh, I can't wait to see that. A golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Do you get that? What are those seven stars? The seven churches, which represent the seven periods. I can't make this sermon too long because Vernie and Daryl have to leave early. But they represent the seven periods that the church would go through in the book of Revelation. I preached about the entire, all the letters to the churches a while back. And the last church is the Laodicean church. And there's a letter that Jesus sent to this church, which it was a real church that existed then, but it also represents the church of the last days, which was very self-confident. You don't need you, we're rich. You know, and Jesus says, no, you're not rich, you're blind and, you know, wretched and pitiful. It represents a self-confidence and the blindness of the last church. So the seven stars in his hand represent the church. Why? Because he's the head of the church, the seven churches. But look how beautiful what comes next. Out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. What is that? Can anyone tell me? It's a small congregation. Tell me, please, don't disappoint me. Tell me you know what that double-edged sword is. The Word of God. Yes. The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. That's where it says. The Word of God. A double-edged sword comes out of his mouth, the Word of God, which penetrates, the Bible says, and divides and is sharp like a double-edged sword, the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. And his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Can't wait to see his face. Makes me want to cry to think of all my beloved people who have gone to be with the Lord. Look, they're not here, but they've seen his face. They've seen that brilliance. They've seen him already. All our beloved people
And you will too, one day. Because he opened the way. Death is not the last thing. Death does not hold power over us anymore. He is risen, and so will we. Number two, he wants us to know the power that he holds in his hands, which was given to him as a result of the resurrection. Verse 18, I'm the living one, not the dead one. I'm the living one. I was dead. Those people who think he didn't die, yes, he died. He had to go to break the power of death. I am dead. And now, look, he says, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and hell. That's our risen Lord. He holds the keys of death and hell. That's the power that our God has. And number three, what else does he want us to know? That because he is the firstborn from the dead, he calls himself the firstborn from the dead because he was dead and he resurrected. He left death behind. So he wants us to know that because he did that, he is the firstborn from the dead. And because he did that, he opened the door for us to do the same thing. Listen to verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. All this can be summed up in what Jesus says in verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What is that? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek. And Omega is the last one of the Greek alphabet. So he's saying, hey, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and then what? Who is to come. Listen, the story is not done. We're in the final chapter. I know we are because of all the signs. But the story is not done. We have yet to see this resurrected Lord face to face. Yes, my brothers, Jesus will come again, and he will come for you, he will come for me, and if we're alive, we'll meet him in the clouds, and all of our loved ones will be there with us. And we wait. And as we wait, he tells us this in verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Take to heart what's written in it. Why? Because the time is near. Did you hear that? You are blessed. You are blessed when you read the Word of God. It's a little different that it says read it out loud. Maybe we need to read the Word of God out loud more often. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. It's not enough to hear it. What does James say? Be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word of God. So as we near the end, let me ask you this. The end of the sermon, I mean. Who knows? Maybe the end of time. Maybe we'll look out and we'll see Jesus as we step out, coming in the clouds. So as we close this sermon, let me ask you this. Are you waiting actively for Jesus' return? Do you think about that often? I hope you do. And I hope you arrange your life around that. That is the only wise way to live. To arrange your life around that truth, that Jesus could come any minute, any time. In fact, the Bible says he will come as a thief in the night. Meaning, we're not going to be expecting it. Meaning, what do people do at night? Sleep. I don't want you to be asleep. It's my job to keep you awake, to keep you alert, so that when he comes, he finds you doing what you're supposed to be doing. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Take to heart what is written, because the time is near. Now I want to end with a passage that is 99% of the times used to preach from on an Easter Sunday. But I want you to focus on the last words of this short passage. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. My friends, our God has also told us a lot of things about life and death, and the end, and his second coming, and how we are to be living until we meet him again. He has told us about our resurrected bodies waiting for us, and our loved ones who are with him. He has told us about a new future we have in heaven with him, and he has told us about the victory over Satan that will soon be sealed. He had told us how to live according to his purposes. He has told us that nothing in this life matters if our lives are not aligned with his purposes, with his wisdom, with his power, with his humility, his meekness, and his love. Are we remembering his words, and are we taking them to heart? Are we remembering, or are we sleeping? Distracted, with no self-awareness, allured by the songs of the world and the wisdom of the world, and the love of money and the love of self? Are we living in humility, kindness, mercy, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit? Let us think about that as we pray. And thank God for a resurrected life that is awaiting, waiting for us. Let us pray. Father, you told John to tell us you are coming with the clouds, and every eye will see you. Even those who pierced you will see you, and all the peoples of the earth will see you, and they will mourn. those who missed it will mourn. Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, you, Triune God, Spirit of God, you are the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, you say that you are who is and was and is to come. You are the Almighty. We pray that our lives will live in peace and joy because of the confidence we have in your victory that was sealed on the cross and that we will see one day when you put the devil in his place and lock him up once and for all, when Satan will soon be sealed. Your victory over Satan will soon be sealed. We thank you for that. We pray for your blessing as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.